We're doing Rav Chalap on Chanukah. And Rav Chalap says, we want to elevate things to the point where they don't have to be considerate of their physical limitations. Our goal is to elevate things beyond their physical limitations. For example, we know the physical body has its limitations. The body is here, now. It's got a specific time. It's got a specific place and space. But we want to elevate the body to a spiritual level that what the body accomplishes is not limited in time or space. So you could say, but my physical body is only here at this moment right now doing one thing. And we say, yes, but do things with it. Elevate it to the point where it's way beyond its limitations. Do things that will have an impact long after you're gone. Do things that have an impact well beyond the place you're at. Impact the world. This is part of the concept of a miracle. That when we see within the laws of nature something that's exceptional to the laws of nature, so then it indicates to us that there's another level of existence in the world. If a person simply lives in the world day in and day out, so they can be misled to believe that the only thing that's here is the physical world that you see. And when we see things that are an exception to the physical world, so then we're reminded that there's a greater value, that we can tap into something greater than the limited physical world we perceive. We know that we function based on a soul. My life is not based on my pumping heart. There is this force that makes my heart pump. That's what we call the soul. And the soul is spiritual. It's not a physical thing, the soul, that pumps the heart. But the soul is placed in a physical body with limitations. The soul is not limited in space or time. The body is. So, if you think about it, the soul is being placed in captivity in the body. And that's something that's very painful to the soul. The soul can never connect itself completely. So long as we're alive, the soul never has the opportunity to release itself from the physical limitations. If you try to take things away from the body, you won't feed your body. You're going to be very spiritual and not eat. You're going to be very spiritual and not sleep. Well, those things can really harm a person. That they're not going to succeed. A person says, but I'm so spiritual, I don't need to eat. Not true. Your spirituality is within a physical body, and you got to take care of that physical body. And it can actually destroy everything if a person doesn't take the time to take care of their physical needs. The body, says Rav Chalap, is the face of the soul. And a person has to realize that if he doesn't take care of himself the way he should, then he's hurting the soul and he's hurting every level, the deepest levels of the soul. He isn't just hurting the body. So we don't view it as a battle. There's the soul and the body, and oh, my poor soul is stuck in a body, so let's try to destroy the body and focus on elevating the soul. No. We look for a synthesis. We look for a system that they work together. The goal of the soul is to unite with the body and to uplift the body, to make the body a pure body so that the body will break the boundaries of being corporeal. Our body is limited, right? It's limited in space, it's limited in time, and the soul comes to the body and says, you don't have to be that way. Be greater. Elevate yourself. So we don't view it as a struggle and a fight, and now let me put down the body so that I can be spiritual. We view it as the soul can now uplift the body. The soul can guide the body. The physical part of my reality, of my existence, can work in conjunction with the spiritual part of my existence, and now I can start doing things that are limitless. We are part of a greater whole. We don't exist as individuals alone, but rather our soul is part of a greater soul of the Jewish people. When the people, as a people, are on a higher level, so every individual is also on a higher level. The Gemara says that there was one wick that stayed lit, called the Ner Maravi. You had in the Beit HaMikdash, you had a lamp with seven stems, and one, the one that's called the Western one, that one remained. It always was lit. You would light all the other flames from that one, and then you would relight that one. You would first take the flame that was a constant and use it to light the others. And the Gemara says that is a dut li Yisrael sheshchina shorah b'Yisrael. The idea that every lamp received the same amount of oil, but one lamp would outshine all the rest, and it would remain for all the rest. That was a reminder. That was testimony to the Jewish people that Hashem is in our midst.
What was that reminder?
Because they all had an equal amount of oil, and one, the same one, every night, would outshine the rest. In other words, that one flame that remained lit was a sign that on one level, in some way, the Jewish people had already overcome the boundaries of their physical existence. In a physical world, you put a cup of oil, you put seven cups of oil, they should all light the same amount of time. And then the Torah tells us, yeah, but there was one that would stay lit well beyond the rest, another 12 hours. So that when the nighttime would come and you wanted to light all the candles, when the evening would come, so all the lamps were out except for one. That one, every night, would stay lit another 12 hours, every day. And that was testimony, says the Gemara, that the Shekhinah is among the Jewish people. In other words, it was testimony to the idea that you live in a physical world, but you're really connected on some level. There's one lamp that remains lit that's overcome the boundaries of the physical world you're living in. And again, we view it as the uplifting of the physical, not the separating from the physical. It's not the soul that will be uplifted and eternal without the body, but rather the soul that will connect the body to eternity. So, the Ran says, when you take a lamp that has oil like all the other lamps, and they last for 12 hours, and this lamp lasts for 24 hours, it lasts until the next evening, so then it's as though that lamp is making a declaration, I don't take into account the natural mathematical calculations of how long I'm supposed to stay lit. I calculate things from a spiritual perspective. In spiritual concepts, things are eternal. They don't end. This is the concept of the miracle of Hanukkah. When we speak about Hanukkah, that oil lasts longer, that the lamp lasts longer, this is a concept that was experienced in the Beit HaMikdash daily. But in Hanukkah, all 7 lasted longer, and we'll hear the development of that idea in a second. Yes?
And that Shabbat, when we visit the place to live, we had discussion about, there was a question, what was the miracle of Hanukkah? Was it that the oil was there bichlal, or was the miracle that the oil lasted 8 days? A little bit different. So what was actually the miracle?
It's a good question. Rav Yosef Karo wasn't sure. Rav Yosef Karo in the Beit Yosef says if you look at the Gemara, you could understand it this way, you can understand it that way. I wasn't sure. The Gemara seems to focus on the flask of oil, that flask lasted 8 days. That's what the Gemara seems to say. But others are of the opinion that what the Gemara means is that only 1/8 of the oil burnt each day. That when the Gemara says that the flask lasted for 8 days, does that mean that every day they could refill from the same little jug? Or it means that every day they'd come in and see that only 1/8 was burnt instead of the full amount? That's those are two possible answers, and there are many more. I mean, so it's a good question. We don't know. Yes?
This is a very nice idea, but is it saying that we should, you know, feel spiritual when we go to bed at night? I'm saying there's things like, you know, I don't know, feeling or whatever. Like, someone naturally would feel more spiritual as opposed to, you know, taking a nap or whatever.
Think that the concept Rav Chalap is talking about, even though he hasn't spelt it out, is a concept that permeates one's reality. Let's take an example of a person who is a volunteer in the ambulance. And they're going to work now for the next 3 days. Work and sleep and work and sleep and work and sleep. And it's a busy time. They've unfortunately had a lot of work to do. And when they can finally get some shut-eye, so they're going to sleep with the full realization that when they get up, they're going straight to work. They might not even have time to brush their teeth. They're going to go and save another life. So when they go to sleep, they're going to sleep on call. They're sleeping now, but the sleep is a very conscious sleep. I'm sleeping now, so I have the energy to continue saving lives when I get up again. When a person's on a mission, so then the mission can define everything they do. We have that sometimes in life, where we're on a mission, and now everything is revolving around the mission. Well, Chazal wanted us to be on a spiritual mission our whole lives. And if we're on a spiritual mission our whole lives, so then when we go to sleep, and when we eat, and everything we do, it's the same as the volunteer in the ambulance corps. It's all within that framework, and then everything becomes spiritual. It's all spirituality. They have kiosks in English too now. You have kiosks where the sign says volunteers in the ambulance corps or policemen can cut the line. What's the logic behind it? Because they might not get to their turn might not come before they get a call again. So if you don't let them cut the line, they might never get lunch. So is it just a practical thing? Let the guy have a bite, because otherwise he might not get to eat? Or is there really another thing that's being stated at that moment? You think he's standing on line. He's not standing on line. He's standing on line, and he's on call every minute that he's on line. And if his beeper goes off, he's gone, and he's not going to get his lunch. I remember times where I was online and the guy in front of me was on the ambulance corps, and before they could prepare a sandwich, he ran. He never got a sandwich. I've seen it happen. So that idea, if we take this small example and we apply it to our spiritual life, so then yes, everything we do can be connected to this level. It's a level of living. It's a level of everything one does. The Huinyan Nes Hanukkah. This is the concept of the miracle of Hanukkah. Yes?
I don't know, maybe Vinny meant this, but the way I heard it, he's asking about the sensation. So, a person standing in Kedusha, an incredible music, the melody that really moves the person's heart, they can feel tremendously uplifted in such a state. So, by the principle that everything that if a person is on a mission, that everything kind of blends together. Can a person feel what he feels in Kedusha when he's about to eat a sandwich or something? So, is that appropriate?
So I think there are two answers. Um, One answer is that there's the general level we live on. Meaning, we choose the level we live on. We make choices. What community we're going to be in, how we're going to invest our times, what language we're going to use, where we make choices. Those choices are in the end a lifestyle. And so there's the general level a person lives on. When a person has elevated their spiritual level, so then much of what they're experiencing is spiritual. Now, within that range, does a person have ups and downs? For sure. There are the moments when a person's in tefillah, and there are moments when he's not in tefillah. There are moments when a person is taking care of mundane things, and there are moments when he's he's fully invested in spirituality. So even within the general level a person's on, there are going to be fluctuations. There are still going to be ups and downs. However, when a person's on a higher level, so then he deals with those fluctuations on a higher level. And a person can also reach a level where even those things are viewed through a spiritual lens. Meaning, it doesn't have to be that there's such a big par between standing in line at the post office and standing in Kedusha. There are fluctuations, but a person can also grow to a level where even eating a sandwich is not far from Kedusha. It's a certain level, like B'chai Adam writes. There are people that before they would eat would think, how is this going to be most healthy for me? And then they'd say, Hashem, may it be your will that I'm eating this food so that I could be a better servant for you. And then they'd eat. Now, if we would start doing that, chances are that after a week or a month, it would just be fake. We'd just be saying the words. Because when we say our prayer, it's hard for it not to be fake. So what would we be doing adding another prayer? Right? Let's first work on having real kavanah when we're talking to Hashem. Forget adding all these sentences. But there does exist such a level. Again, be it the general level, be it the specific level. A person can elevate the mundane.
I guess my question is that how I wanted things to be is that there's different types of spirituality. The spirituality of Yom Kippur is not the same as the spirituality of Pesach or something like that. But I can't recall the source at the moment, but my general feeling of in my reading is that really it's about a gradation, and it's not the...
Really it's about?
The difference between Pesach and Yom Kippur isn't a difference of type as much as it is a difference of like quantity of holiness. So if you add like more holiness, then you kind of reach a certain level. So if you add holiness to everything that you're doing, then you could, you know, have the elevated consciousness experience by eating a sandwich is like with prayer. And then it just feels like at the like really it should be something slightly different. But maybe it is just you just have that much greater of an experience in Kedusha.
Right, but it's a cycle. If your sandwich becomes your ne'ilah, then your ne'ilah should be greater than your sandwich, right? You can elevate the sandwich, but then the ne'ilah should also be elevated, no? Meaning the whole system should keep going up.
But then you, at the same time, then you still have a ne'ilah experience from eating a sandwich.
You have someone else's ne'ilah experience, but your ne'ilah experience should be higher. And I was told that Rav Shlomo Zalman on a regular day, his Shmon Esrei took 15 minutes. Perspective. 15 minutes. A regular Shmon Esrei. So the Greeks were coming to uproot any connection the Jews had to Hashem. And they insisted that every Jew engrave in the horn of their donkey that they don't have any part in the God of Israel. And so the Jewish people stood up to that and fought it. And they said, we are connected to Hashem. We refuse the Greek declaration that we have nothing to do with it. So what they were doing was they were taking their physical bodies and fighting a physical war that was all about a spiritual existence. The Greeks said, we'll give you all the rights of Greek citizens, but we want you to adopt our philosophy. The Jews said, we're fighting for our spirituality. So they were fighting a physical war over spiritual concepts. Says Rav Charlap, at that moment, they were able to uplift their physical existence to spiritual existence. So that's why the fitting miracle at the conclusion of the war was the miracle of the flask of oil. It only had one day's worth, and suddenly it lights for 8 days. And that's to show that they had overcome the physical boundaries of existence. That the Jewish people had broken out. They had broken out of the physical existence. They had fought a spiritual war. Yes, they used physical tools to fight the war, but the war was about a spiritual existence. And so Hashem was showing them that when you uplift the physical to a spiritual existence, when you take your physical body to fight a spiritual war, so then you overcome the limitations of the physical existence. You're beyond time and space. We have a concept when it comes to Hanukkah, we say Hashem took the oil and made the oil last longer. Hashem didn't make oil appear out of thin air. Miracles happen with something physical, because the idea of something spiritual, well, spiritual is beyond physical limitations. It becomes a miracle when you take something physical and you make it break its physical limitations. That's what a miracle is. You're connecting the physical to its spiritual reality. Rav Charlap says, the wholeness we try to attain in life is a wholeness of the fusion of the spiritual with the physical, where the spiritual uplifts the physical. That's why the oil had to exist and then break its boundaries. Now you've shown that this oil is not limited in the physical world. That's a wholeness. If something is if our goal is wholeness, as Rav Charlap, so we described the whole theme Rav Charlap was describing, is the idea that wholeness is when I can make myself, I can make the physical parts of me spiritual, I can uplift what's physical about me and break the boundaries of the physical world. That's our goal here, and that is what was accomplished in Hanukkah, and that's why the miracle was in breaking the boundaries of the oil, that it would last much longer, because that reflected the accomplishment of Hanukkah. So that's the theme we learned today of Hanukkah being the connection of the spiritual to the physical, uplifting the physical to really connect with the spiritual. The physical war was about a spiritual existence. And so too the physical lighting would break its boundaries and last for 8 days, so to speak, a reflection of attaining that wholeness of connecting between the physical world and the spiritual world.